Okay, well, we've had some children's time. We're going to have some grown-up time just for a few, about 10, 15 minutes. I want to share with you God's Word today. We've been looking at a series in our church about visions of Christmas. And we spent the month of November and October looking at the power of vision. When as a church, we have a vision for our lives or a vision for our church, we really know where God has taken us. And things really start to happen for us as a church and in our lives. And God has the same power of vision for us in the Christmas story. But we've celebrated the coming of Jesus. But Jesus actually, during his birth period of time, there was a major, major international disaster which happened, an atrocity. And we live in a world today where bad things are happening to good people. Bad things are happening to bad things. Bad people, and good things are happening to bad people, and there's lots of sense of injustice around the world, and we want to spend just the last part of this service thinking about those issues and what God would say to us. And I just want to show you this video first to kind of just set us up, and then at the end of my message we'll show a second video to sum it up, and then we're going to spend some time praying for some of the difficult places in the world and thanking God that he's been able to bring some good out of evil for us. So hopefully this will play in that.
You've heard the Christmas tale before, the Christ born on a stable floor. But think again, this Christmas scene, not all is bliss and sweet serene. Think rusted tools, think grotty shed, think feeding trough for Jesus' head, where mice and lice and rats devour, a newborn babe is due this hour. Some months before, in Joseph's town, a messenger from heaven came down. Your Mary soon will have a son, the Son of God, the saving one. Mary saw an angel too, unmarried with a baby due. So Jesus, not yet even born, is subject to the gossip's scorn. A census now to count all men sends our Joseph to Bethlehem. Poor Mary with her pregnant load, 100 miles along the road. And no one came to help that night, no natal nurse to numb the fright. As water breaks and labour starts, the Saviour in a shed imparts. Sing, angels, from the hills tonight, bring shepherds to this holy sight. Shine, star of wonder, brilliant light, lead wise men to the child this night. Now Herod got to hear the news. A newborn Christ, King of the Jews. So firstborn sons were culled that year. Such fear, such blood, such death, such tears. But Joseph, bride and child take flight. They flee to Egypt through the night. Undernourished as they roam, now refugees and far from home. For you, God gives this Christmas story, the coming of the King of Glory.
Wow. So, as I said, over the last few months, we've been looking at these visions of Christmas. The share in the front with, it's like my front room. Timothy, if you stand there much longer, mate, I'm going to get you to preach. That'll get rid of them. There we go. That's all right. That's all right. That's fine. That's fine. We're okay with kids. We're all right. We can handle it. I want to read you this prophecy that we're looking at today, this vision of Christmas. We've looked at some of the classic prophecies in the life of Jesus' birth. And this is the last one here today. Rachel weeping. That's not what you expect, is it, to hear in a really happy celebratory story of the Saviour coming to earth. But it's a real gritty, real life story. And I want to read to you the original context in the book of Jeremiah. And then I'm going to read the classic Christmas version. This is in Jeremiah 31, verses 15 to 17. This is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy, so there is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. So that is how the classic Christmas prophecy was first announced. And here it is in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. I'll just read you the story in the context in which it came about. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Wow, that's not what you expect really to hear in the Christmas story. You want wonderful great news, but actually Jesus was born, John the Baptist was born amongst the deaths of thousands of innocent children. And we see that in the news, sadly, internationally on a regular basis, and our heart is really sad about that. But this is the Christmas story. Sorry to bring it to you on Christmas Day, but this is the reality of what happened, and it's the world that we live in. And so I just want to give you just a little bit of context quickly before I give you a message that I believe God has for us in our lives today. This is really the context of what was happening. It's about roughly 600 years before Jesus was born. Jeremiah the prophet was prophesying to the southern part of the kingdom of Israel. Israel was in the north, Judah was in the south. And Jeremiah was in the south saying, look, the northern kingdom has been taken off into exile because they've basically been really evil. And you are being evil in the southern kingdom. You are going to be taken away. And this was the picture of what was happening. The town, the capital of Jerusalem was being under siege, being attacked by the kingdom of Babylon, Babylonia, the Babylonian Empire. And so he had these final words of judgment, really, that there's going to be great weeping and mourning. But then at the end, which is not mentioned in the Christmas story, he goes on to say there is hope for the children. There's going to be weeping and mourning, and terrible things will happen to children, but there is going to be hope. And so I just kind of want to explain a little bit about what that was, because the Israelites hadn't turned away from their evil ways. They'd had countless warnings from prophets down the ages to turn back to God. You see, the Israelites had made a promise to be faithful to God. If they hadn't made that promise, God would not be treating them in this way. These awful things wouldn't be happening. But there is an issue at stake here which God needs to deal with. So let's first have a quick look at the content of this message that Jeremiah gave. There's three real things that he mentions. The town of Ramah, he mentions somebody called Rachel, and he mentions weeping. So let's have a look at the first one, Ramah. It's just right there. Just to the west of Jerusalem in the province of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the tribes of Israel. Ramah actually means high places. That's what the name means. And it was symbolic of what was happening at the time. The Israelites had turned away from God, and every high place, they were setting up idols and they were worshipping them instead of Jehovah, instead of God, Yahweh. And not only were they just worshipping those gods as we might do, but they were also sacrificing their own children in that way, which is shocking. That's something you think about in the South American culture and Incas and that kind of stuff. But it was happening here. And God was not happy with that. And so he had this word he gave to them and said, if you continue in this way, you will be exiled into the Babylonian nation. And that was the judgment that was coming. And the cries that they were giving on these hills to foreign gods of worship and adulation were going to become cries out to Yahweh again, save us from our evil deeds. And the second thing that was mentioned here is Rachel. Now, Rachel, a little bit of history, 1,400 years before Jeremiah announced this prophecy, so 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Rachel gave birth to a boy called Joseph. And he then had two sons called Ephraim and Manasseh. And as you can see, they are other tribes of Israel. And she also gave birth to another son called Benjamin. And you can see there the little tribe of Benjamin where Israel, where Jerusalem is. And this, in fact, was the area where the children were massacred. That was the image that was given in the prophecy. And Rachel is the clue to where this was happening. But not only that, but also when Jacob married Rachel, there was deception going on. And something evil happened. Jacob had been deceived by his uncle into marrying a daughter that he didn't want to marry. And he had to wait for another 7 years. So 14 years in total to get the wife he wanted, which was Rachel. So there was huge deception going on as well. So not just does this prophecy allude to foreign idol worship, but also it alludes to the evil of deception that was going on. And then thirdly, we see the word weeping. When Rachel named her son, she actually names him not Benjamin, but Benoni, son of my trouble, because of the difficulties she had in labor. And there is a message for us this morning. In all this evil that is going on, God has to address it somehow. God cannot, as a moral being, cannot leave all that evil going on. And so we have the issue of how does God bring good out of evil? And for us this morning, it's very simple. It's the upheaval of evil. Very, very simple phrase I want you to remember. The upheaval of evil. How God pulls up evil out of the world and brings good. The upheaval of evil. Let me show you these three issues again. The promise that we have from tears. Rachel's naming of her son of my trouble, because actually she ended up dying in childbirth. What a tragic thing. I'm really giving you good news this morning. Don't worry. There is good news coming. But we have to see how good news comes. It comes out of trouble. It's the world that you and I live in. And it gives great glory to God when he carries out this phrase, the upheaval of evil. And Jacob renamed son of my trouble to the son of my right hand, Benjamin. That's what the word Benjamin means. Son of my right hand. Right there in that weeping and tears and the death was a sign of the Messiah. God could bring out of weeping and death, he could bring life through the Messiah. First, upheaval of evil right there. Secondly, we have when Jeremiah prophesied to the people of Israel, he said the children, there's going to be weeping, there's going to be mourning. And this was because Babylonian Empire came in, took over, killed so many children and women and took the parents off, the adults off into slavery. They ended up coming out of that and making a life in Babylon. But then through the upheaval of evil, they came back and they developed their own nation again into the nation of Israel. And they never worshipped foreign gods again. And they became again devoted to the worship of Yahweh. That's simply the upheaval of evil right there. And thirdly, despite all of Herod's efforts to wipe out the children and kill Jesus and John the Baptist, and just think about how Jesus felt growing up in a classroom with not many kids his own age. There was a gap, and Jesus was one of a few kids of that age, same with John the Baptist. And everyone's thinking, what happened? Remember what happened? Remember what happened? But Jesus was the sign. John the Baptist and the Saviour lived. God dealt with it. That's the upheaval of evil. That's how God can pull evil out of the world and still bring life. That's what we deal with in our world today. You think of Aleppo. Supposedly now it's a peaceful situation the last few days. The army has taken over with the help of Russia and everything's fine and dandy again. It's not, is it? How is God going to bring good out of that evil? I don't know. Do you? But I know and I believe in the upheaval of evil. God will do it somehow. You may now be thinking back through your life where you have experienced evil. Evil has been done to you, or you've seen it and witnessed it. Or you know someone who it's happened. And yet years on, they'll turn around and say to you, do you know what? I'm so glad because God is able to bring good out of evil. It gives us a fresh look at our personal suffering. And ultimately, when you think about the evil that is in our lives, our own deception that we play on people, our own selfishness that we have ourselves, our own darkness that we have in our lives. Even as Christians, we have failures, failings, and sins and secrets. And yet we've heard throughout this whole month the promise of great hope, despite all that, that we still have hope. And I want to say to you this morning, if you are struggling with evil in your life, do not worry, because there is such a thing as the upheaval of evil, and it's coming your way, and it's coming today, and it's called Jesus the Saviour. That's amazing, isn't it? That God can bring good out of evil. People wonder why we have evil. There's about 7 different reasons why we have evil in this world, and I'll tell you them in about the month of May. Sorry, I'm just planning ahead. But that's when we're going to deal with suffering. It's a major, major question, but I'll let you into a secret. One of them is, for God to show himself as truly good and truly glorious, which is in your and my best interest, because we benefit from it, he has to show that even over evil, he can bring out good. If he could not prove that, we could allege that he isn't truly good. We could say, well, you're good, but we've only seen you do good with good stuff. Can you do good with evil? Well, now we know he can. And God is really, really glorified. That is the upheaval of evil. If today you don't know Jesus, you can know the upheaval of evil in your life through simple repentance and turning away and putting faith in the Saviour born this day. You can be saved from that evil. And if, as a Christian this morning, you felt a bit of a failure in 2016 and you're already resolving to try harder in 2017, let me just stop you right in your tracks. Don't even bother starting. You will not overcome evil yourself. It's only God's upheaval of evil in your life through Jesus that will do that. If you're going to have any resolution this year, let it be that you're going to humble yourself before God and let his power help you in 2017. That's the only way you will experience the upheaval of evil in your life, is through his saving power. And that, my friends, is good news. That's why we're here today. That's why we're having turkey. There is a link, I'm sure. Oh, that'll be a service for another day. That's why we're having sprouts. Oh, my goodness. Do you know what? In our household, we have chocolate sprouts. That right there is the upheaval of evil, because sprouts are the most evil thing going, aren't they? Hands up if you like sprouts. Oh, man, let me pray for you. Here you go. But to have chocolate sprouts, that is overcoming evil. I just love that. That's brilliant. Anyway, let me show you this DVD to sum things up, and then we're going to pray for some of the areas where there is evil in our world, in this last 2016 year where there has been evil. So let's have a look at this.
It used to be summer when Christmas came round. Neath tall southern skies over sun-scorched ground, with the backyard cricket, the barbies, the beach, munching on mangoes to watch the Queen's speech, the slatherings of sunscreen, the glorious glare, and toasting the sunshine in the warm evening air. It used to be summer when I was young, a golden age in a land far flung, but there came a point I crossed a divide, went up in the world and summer had died. December is dark now, the nights close in, so we huddle together as kith and as kin. It's winter now when Christmas rolls round. We celebrate still, though with different surrounds. We mull the wine, strike the matches, light the fires, batten the hatches, gather around the warming beam of family love or a TV screen. So safe inside, no place to go, we toast marshmallows and let it snow. Summer's gone now, if you've been around. You've felt the fall, life's run aground. We've gone up in the world, seen the light die. So what's our hope? The dark defy? Stoke the hearth, retreat indoors, rug up warm with you and yours? The shadow reaches even here, but this is the place for Christmas cheer. It's dark in the Bible when Christmas is spoken. Always a bolt from the blue for the broken. It's the valley of shadows, the land of the dead. It's no place in the inn, so he stoops to the shed. He's born to the shameful. He bends to the weak. He becomes the lowly, the God who can't speak. And yet, what a word, this Saviour who comes. Our dismal, abysmal depths he plumbs. through crib and then cross, to compass our life, to carry and conquer our brother in strife. He became what we are, our failures he shouldered, to bring us to his life, forever enfolded. He took on our frailty, he took on all comers, to turn all our winters to glorious summers. It's Christmas now, whatever the weather. Some soak in the sun, some huddle together. But fair days or foul, our plight he embraces. Real Christmas shines in the darkest of places.
Okay, well, let's pray before our final carol. Let's pray together about some of these areas of the world. Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for your upheaval of evil in our world. We saw before the Olympics, Lord, in Brazil, such pain between the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, and political regimes coming down because of our frustration with that unjust situation. And yet at the same time, Lord, we see now around the world the just rulings being given, and banks are paying huge penalties for their deception and lies. Lord, we thank you that new procedures are being put in place. We thank you that at that same time in Brazil, we saw how Paralympic athletes overcame the evil and the difficulties in their bodies that they'd experienced. And they were shining examples of real, they were real heroes and real heroines, Lord. We think about the refugee problems that we saw in the early part of the year, and that are, though off our screens now, Lord, we still know it's happening. And yet, Lord, we want to thank you for the great compassion that was shown across Europe by nations, the difficulties there was, the hard discussions to have around those decisions. But Lord, in that evil, brought great compassion out of it. Lord, there's been international tensions in the China Sea ongoing. There's been international tensions between nations who knew each other well once but are now spying on each other. And yet, Lord, you've brought good in the international arena as well. There's been climate change accords. There's been great medical breakthroughs as countries work together and share information. Terror has been stopped because of information sharing. And Lord, we see in every situation in 2016 where there was evil, we also see your upheaval. And we want to thank you that you bring good out of evil, and that you are a truly good God. Not just good with good, but good with evil. And we thank you that you are good to us as well. Help us, Lord, to be good to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.